We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Patty Barsh. Dr. Patty Barsh, a traditional naturopath and holistic practitioner business coach, has a background in biotechnology, nutrition, and education. In 2011, she and her husband relocated from New Hampshire to the Midwest. This gave Patty the opportunity to take her part-time wellness business full-time. The only problem was she did not know a single person in the state of Wisconsin. She had to build her practice from the ground up with absolutely no network. Fast forward to today, and she now has a multi-six-figure, zero-debt practice, and she is coaching other wellness practitioners in how to utilize her model for their own success through her wellness practice GPS programs. Patty, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, I'm sure you're going to have lots of really good pieces of insight, especially moving to a new state and starting basically, like you said, from ground zero here.
Absolutely. Yes.
So what are the biggest challenges that holistic wellness practitioners face when it comes to business?
So over the years, as I've traveled around the country for different seminars and such, and I've met so many incredible practitioners, what I found is that there's just countless practitioners who are amazing healers. They're amazing wellness professionals, but they're struggling in business because they have little or no training in business or marketing. They don't know how to build a brand. They don't know even basic things like how to establish themselves as an expert resource. And for sure, one of the biggest challenges, because these are heart-centered entrepreneurs, they give way too much away for free. So those are some big challenges that wellness professionals face.
So what are some of the most common mistakes that the holistic wellness practitioners make in business?
Well, that's actually threefold. So most holistic practitioners are solopreneurs. They're in business for themselves. There aren't a lot of jobs out there for someone who does Reiki or nutrition or homeopathy. Basically, these people have to start their own practices. So they get really good at learning wellness. They focus 100% on wellness. Wellness knowledge and 0% on business knowledge. I put a shout out on my Facebook group the other day about what's your favorite business book that you've read? And it was like crickets chirping. It's like they're not even reading any business books, but they own their own businesses. So then they undervalue their services, they undercharge for their services. But I think the biggest thing that a lot of these practitioners think that I've just found in communicating with them over the years is they think, well, I just need to go get this certification, or I just need to go join this association or get this credential or buy this gadget or device. And they think, oh, once I have that, then people will come. But they just don't know how to get the word out there about who they are and how they help people. So those are some of the most common things that I see, mistakes that practitioners make, just focusing exclusively on wellness and not on the fact that they're a business owner.
Well, I'm really excited for this conversation because you're just kind of preaching all these things that I've been preaching for a while. So I'm glad to see that we're on the same page here.
Awesome.
So what were the best and worst decisions that you made when you established your practice then?
Well, obviously, I had a steep learning curve when I moved into an area with absolutely no network. You know, hi, I'm new and I do something that most people haven't heard of was a very difficult way to start growing a practice. And I think with some of the worst decisions I made in my early days was I connected with some other practitioners who had selfish motives instead of collaborative motives. So they were really about how much business could I bring to them versus how could we work together to grow each other's businesses. But I'm thankful for that experience because I grew from it and I learned to listen to my intuition more because I had some feelings before getting into those commitments with those practitioners that that I knew it wasn't for my best and highest good. So, you know, we all have to learn from something, but I think from some of the best decisions I've made were twofold. First of all, when I moved to Wisconsin from New Hampshire, I joined every possible networking group I could find in my area. I even joined Toastmasters. It was like whatever I could do to just start connecting with people and meeting with people. And over time, as my practice grew, I would just deprioritize some of those groups that just really hadn't been fruitful or productive for me. But I think the very best decision that I made early on in my practice, I was actually still getting my education to become a practitioner, was I hired business coaches and mentors for each level of growth in my practice. And I know that that has a big impact on the success that I've been able to achieve.
Amen to that. Absolutely. That's so important. And I imagine, let me step back here. You're going to have so many good pieces of information around networking. I love that you just kind of laid it out there that you joined every single possible group that you could find just to get started. That's fantastic. And I'm sure you kind of evolved and figured out which groups were the best fit for you, but you just put yourself out there and said, I'm doing this. So that's great.
Absolutely. Yep. Sink or swim.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
Yeah.
To some people, networking is a really scary word and it evokes fear and hesitation and uncertainty. And I really want to remove some of that fear. And I hope that you can do that for our listeners by sharing your most successful or favorite networking story.
I love that you asked that question because it gives me time to reflect on some of the relationships that I've developed over the years that I've been here in Wisconsin. But I have to say my favorite story was one of the networking groups that I joined. They only meet once a month for lunch. And I had been a member probably for about 6 or 7 months. And as you know, a lot of people, they go once, twice, three times, and they're like, I didn't get any business, and they don't go back. And that's not how networking groups work. So yeah. I was probably 6 or 7 months into it. And I can't remember if it was an email or a phone call from another woman in the group who was a financial advisor. And she's like, oh, I know we're actually in a couple networking groups together, and I don't really know much about what you do. So would you like to get together for lunch? Absolutely. So we met for lunch. And like I said, she's a financial advisor. So, and at the time, I mean, my business was just ground zero. So it's not like I had anything to invest at that point. But I remember having lunch with her and going, hey, wait a minute. Do you do life insurance? And she's like, oh, yeah, we do life insurance. I'm like, oh, I think we don't have good life insurance. I think we need to do life insurance. So let's make an appointment for my husband and I to meet with you, and we'll look at life insurance. So we started off with life insurance with her, and then she became our financial advisor, and then she also became a client of mine, and she refers people to me. But the thing that gets me the most excited about that is, I want to say it was probably 2 years ago now, we planned an event together. So I talked about holistic health and she talked about financial health. I think we called it healthy, wealthy, and wine. And we talked about, well, you can be physically healthy, but if you have no money, you're going to starve to death when you're old. And if you're financially healthy, but you don't take good care of your body, you could drop dead before you even get to retire. So we had over 70 people attend that event. So it was just a really phenomenal and collaborative relationship. And to this day, we still work really well together.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you started this relationship, you know, just from your you're going all in to the, all the networking groups, and then, you know, you stepped into this next zone of let's do a one-on-one, basically, and it's turned into just all of these really awesome events. That's great.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Absolutely.
And it wasn't scary, right?
No, for it's totally fun. And it's like, you know, now we're friends. So this business relationship just, you know, grew into a friendship as well.
You know, that's a really interesting comment that you said, because I've learned that over my networking career, I would say. I went in like all business, you know, I'm going here for business purposes and that's it. But over time, I've learned that I have a lot of really good friendships from these people that I, you know, went to connect with in strictly a professional setting. And it's definitely expanded beyond that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So as you went out and made all of these connections and joined all these different groups and you're hosting events and people are coming, you've built quite an extensive network for yourself. What do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
Well, that's multi-leveled, of course. There's lots of different levels at which we reach out and connect with people. So on the most superficial level is things like my newsletters that I might send to people who have maybe met me at a trade show or come in for a consultation or just signed up for my freebie on my website. On top of that, I am pretty active on Facebook and have a pretty good size following on Facebook, and I post every single day to both my personal Facebook page and my business Facebook pages. And the thing that I love the most and find the best return on investment of my time, money, and energy is to do as many speaking engagements as possible. I pretty much can guarantee you if I have an opportunity to speak, I'm going to get some clients out of it. And so I just went out there and found different groups like Rotary groups that they're always kind of looking for people to come and speak. And over time, I certainly phased out certain groups that didn't really align with my practice very well, but I want to keep my face in front of people through community ed or workshops at different, like I have two workshops coming up at different yoga studios this fall. So basically, there, you know, just keeping touch with people on a loose level, a medium level, and then a close level, I think has been really beneficial.
Yeah, that's really good. I like that you've kind of put it into those three different buckets of, you know, well, low, medium, high, or close, or whatnot, however you phrase that.
Sure.
You've got a strategy for different levels based on the different type of relationship, obviously.
Exactly.
Nice. So what advice would you offer to the professional who's looking to grow their network?
Well, one of the things that I had to do when my practice started getting busier and busier was I had to prioritize. So way back in the early days when I was really building my practice and I had more time than anything, I was really active on all of the social networking sites. But over time, it became I'm too busy seeing clients to actually be posting on these different platforms. So what I decided I would do is pick one or two things that I really focus on and do really well instead of five things that I'm going to do half-baked or, you know, tickle Twitter a little bit over here or tickle Instagram a little bit over here. So I just pick one platform that most of my target market would be involved in and interacting with and really focusing on doing that one well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely makes sense to be focused. That's yes. The key word there, right?
Yes, exactly.
So you talked a little bit about, you know, social media and Facebook, kind of you're posting daily, but you've also kind of dove into, you know, you get in front of people, you're hosting events and you're attending events. Which space do you find more value in? Is it the digital networking or the traditional networking?
That's an interesting question. And I'd have to say that I actually find equal value in them, but they just have different types of value. So in-person events, you make this one-on-one connection or one-to-many connection if you're speaking. But just going to a networking or an after hours and just having a glass of wine and talking to people, just making one-on-one connections and getting to know people and getting people, allowing people to get to know you, I think that establishes one layer or one level of connection. But then through social media, you can nurture those connections so that people don't fall away and be like, oh yeah, I think I met her a few months back at a networking event. Between that few months back networking event and today, they've actually seen you 48 times on Facebook or whichever platform you're using. So it is really common for people to mention what they see me post, whether I'm posting photos of the nutritious holistic meals that I'm making, or I'm posting my hashtag Good Morning Nature pictures and positive statements and things I try to do to inspire the world to be more love, really. But I do think that both of those things just help to just strengthen the relationships, again, on multiple levels.
I really like how you kind of open it up and broke it down to the simplicity of that one-to-one connection as opposed to the one-to-many connection. Because in a way, digital and traditional allow you to do both, right?
Exactly, exactly.
And I do agree with you that they have equal value. They're just different kind of tactical strategies in order to hit your goal at the end of the day.
Yeah, absolutely. A different level of snug.
Okay. So here's a fun one for you. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Well, I'd probably tell myself not to work as hard, but I don't think I would have listened. but I really think that I would just go back and just encourage myself to do what I really did along the way, which was to hire mentors and coaches along the way so that I didn't, so that I didn't have to reinvent the wheel. Because I was halfway through my doctorate in natural health when I realized, oh no, I'm going to have to own my own business. It wasn't a dream of mine or a vision of mine. It was a necessity in order to be able to have my practice. So that's when I immediately just went online and started looking for business coaches because I didn't know anything about running a business. So I would say to my 20-year-old self, like, do that again because that really worked.
Well, that's good. That's really interesting that you kind of are staying with the status quo as far as what you've done historically and you're content with the situation. But I do advocate 100% with, you know, if you don't have this information and this isn't your skill set, then find someone that does have this skill set and can guide you and walk you through the process as opposed to trying to figure out how to do it on your own.
Absolutely. And people think that it's intuitive, but what they all just end up doing is just discounting versus adding value. So I think a lot of people can use some tools and strategies when it comes to that.
And that's my assumption is that's pretty much what it is that you do in your business, right? You're kind of coaching, but to the specific audience.
Exactly. I just help wellness practitioners to have that business foundation, some of the skills as far as creating a brand, what to post on social media, what not to post on social media, and different things just related to even conducting a initial consultation, some of the things that I find many practitioners forget to do is to even talk about themselves and their credentials, therefore not establishing themselves as an expert. They think, oh, well, it's on my website. So there's some skills that are really fundamental that a lot of practitioners are overlooking. And then there's some things that get more complicated. But what's great is I have four or five different levels of programs that people can participate in depending on where they're at with their practice.
Okay, nice. So we've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Who would be the one person you would love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Well, that's like, I have a hard time thinking of who I would really like to meet or connect with, but I think there's this intuitive guy that he's just, the man is pure love, and he just always makes you not worry about all the chaos in the world, and his name is Lee Harris. And I started off by watching some of his YouTube videos, and now I get his newsletter, so I've been sucked into his happy funnel. But as far as trying to connect with him, I think I will connect with him at some point, but I'll just go to one of his events. I'm going to skip 6 steps and just go right to him.
You go, girl.
That's right. That's right.
That's fantastic. And obviously, as a very educated professional, I imagine, and you kind of alluded to this a little bit earlier too, you know, what book are you reading, or what professional business book are you reading? And this is a question I always like to ask, because I just, you know, there's so many books out there, and it's hard to stay on top of the latest and greatest. But I am curious, what book are you reading right now?
I just got this book a little while ago, and I'm not very deep into it, but it's called Sacred Commerce, Business as a Path of Awakening by Matthew and Tersis Engelhart. And I really like this book, especially for my coaching clients, because so many holistic practitioners have this aversion to the quote-unquote sales part of business, when really nothing happens unless there's an exchange of money. The doors don't open, the lights don't go on, the products don't go on the shelf. So there has to be a balance there. And so this particular book really helps holistic practitioners to really embrace the commerce side of any business, and to not feel guilty when your client's wellness program is $200, $300, $400, depending on the situation.
Sure. Nice. Yeah, that seems like a really interesting book, but definitely is in alignment with your audience for sure.
Absolutely.
Any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, what I would say is take action every day. Whether it's posting something on Facebook, maybe creating your own hashtag, meet someone for coffee, like Amy and I met for coffee years ago now and talked about life insurance and how that has developed. So don't hesitate to just go meet someone for a cup of coffee and learn about each other's businesses. And then really, there's power in numbers. So tag team with someone else so that you both can benefit. Find somebody who can somehow complement what you do, and you can complement what they do, and then work together as a team where 1 + 1 = 3.
Yeah, I like that a lot, as far as complementing and finding kind of that buddy system, you know, and so you can both be advocates for each other and kind of maybe expand that and create a bigger circle of that key influencers in your business. But it's also turns into somewhat of a support system too.
Exactly, exactly.
And I loved your advice about taking action every day, whether it's a coffee or a social media post or just connecting someone. I think that's extremely important to be consistent in executing, because this stuff doesn't just happen overnight.
Right. And, you know, some of the things that I know that you know that a lot of people are unaware of is how the algorithms work in these social media sites, and that you actually do need to be engaging in social media for it to be effective. And so that's some of the things that I can help people with, too. And I'm sure you give some advice on that as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's one of my favorite topics. All right. So if anyone was interested in getting in touch with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, my website for my holistic practitioner coaching business is wellnesspracticegps.com. And if they have any questions, they can email me at Patty, P-A-T-T-I, at wellnesspracticegps.com. And I do offer a free 30-minute strategy session so that we can see, am I a good fit for your practice? Are you a good fit for my coaching? So that we can take a little test drive.
That sounds great. And we will include all of that information in the show notes. Well, Patty, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Good. I enjoyed our conversation a lot.
Me too.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Patty for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.